Military Supply.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You're listening to Gene and Chris on the Paracast with Dave Dragosin and Eric Altman. We're talking about Bigfoot, and let's get into the evidence a bit more as we try to explore what's going on. Now, one of the unfortunate things about any kind of paranormal investigation, things that are unusual, the hoaxes out there. What do you think have been some of the notable hoaxes in Bigfoot land?
There's been a lot, an awful lot. The most recent comes to mind happened in 2008 in August, where, I give the same exact response whenever it's brought up. But two gentlemen out of Georgia that claimed that they discovered the body of a Bigfoot that was shot and killed.
And they were keeping it in their refrigerator or something?
Yeah, they put it in a freezer under ice. And they went on CNN, they went on Fox News, all the major national news channels, and even did a press conference. And they announced to the world they had this body, and they brought on a notable Bigfoot researcher, and he confirmed it. He said, "I touched it, I felt it, it's real as I am, or real as you are standing there," he said to one of the reporters. And a few days later, after they released the pictures, and it hit the internet, the Bigfoot research community started looking into these pictures, and somebody said, "Hey, that looks like a costume on this website." They released the website, and sure enough, it was a costume, and then the hoax was busted within, I believe, a day. But it made world news.
This Bigfoot researcher who vouched for it, what's his name? Let's disclose this.
I'd rather not. We'll just say he's a very notable researcher. A lot of the folks in the research community know who this gentleman is.
Is he less notable now, I hope?
Well, notorious now, I think is the best way to put it. And I don't want to mention his name because he likes to go out and sue people for slander, so I'm not going to bring his name up. But he's very notorious in the Bigfoot community now, and a lot of people feel that he has a very negative reputation because of that.
Well, you know, there's one thing about suing people. If you're suing somebody for defamation, truth is your best defense.
After having my own talk show on commercial radio, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
We haven't been sued yet, and I don't know how our network would take it.
Yeah. Well, here's one that's always intrigued me. It's one of my favorite kind of anomalous cases, and that is the case of the Minnesota Iceman that was displayed under ice, I think, in the 60s. And I think the storyline was that it was perhaps shot somewhere in Southeast Asia and brought back by returning GIs. Was bought by some rich, shadowy California millionaire. And it was exhibited for a short time, I think, in Minnesota. Argosy magazine had an issue that featured it, and there were some very intriguing photographs in it. And I think Ivan Sanderson may have had a look at it, and he left scratching his head thinking that maybe that this was something legitimate. Do you guys have any information on that? Do you think it was a hoax? The thing disappeared. The specimen disappeared. It seemed to, I think, was shot through the left eye, if I remember correctly. Are you familiar with that case?
I certainly am. And personally, I do believe that it could possibly have been real, very similar to the diversion of a body that was displayed in France for a while, many, many years ago. Take it, Eric.
Yeah, we don't have any support that the creature was real or a hoax. There wasn't really any physical evidence collected that I'm aware of. You are correct in saying the body did disappear, and it did. Nobody's ever found out whatever happened to it. But it's a very interesting case and one that has been documented. Ivan Sanderson was there, and he did take a look at the body. What happened to it, nobody knows.
One of those Bigfoot that just disappeared, like, oof.
Again, I'm going to bring up a hydrogen sulfide theory. The fact that it is a part of the natural environment all over North America, and it's readily available in rotting vegetation and in karst material and so on. And it's believed in some theories in some circles that it could possibly either ingest or somehow through the process of osmosis get the nutrients involved from H2S. Not only lowering their metabolism, which enables them to not have to eat as much for their large frame and just eat high protein concentrations such as a liver and maybe part of a whitetail, and continue its merry way without having to eat loads of food. And then at the same time, use that hydrogen sulfide possibly as part of a defense mechanism when it's seen in the woods. And all of a sudden, when it releases that odor, very similar to a skunk, it is so overwhelming that those who may be around it, which it wants to avoid, become so overwhelmed by it that the Bigfoot appears to disappear. And they lose track of time. They get sick. They become very disoriented. They fall down. They become dizzy because of the terrible effect that it has on their body, which was emitted by these forest creatures. So that's one theory.
Well, how would they maintain muscle mass and maintain such a robust physique? These creatures, to my knowledge, have never been really reported as being emaciated, as being perhaps even sickly. There is a case from Harrison Hot Springs, I think, in the mid to late 70s, where what appeared to be an elderly Bigfoot came down, chased away a bunch of soakers at a hot springs there in the Harrison Hot Springs area, and soaked in the hot springs. But other than that, I mean, I've done quite a bit of research in this subject. I can't recall, and that, it's a good point that you're bringing up there, about their high protein possibly diet, not needing to eat much because of H2S. But how would they maintain muscle mass? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me that a creature that looks like it works out every day in terms of its actual physique would be able to maintain such a robust physique.
Well, I'm not going to maintain that this is the a theory that every one of the forest creatures subscribe to, that possibly in time of low food volume in a particular area, that could be a situation where in place of a large substance of food, they may seek hydrogen sulfide in order to enable them to continue their existence in a lower metabolic rate.
And to get some sort of... maybe we should have a Bigfoot diet. We should like package it and like make $1 million. You know, we'll do a hydrogen sulfide Bigfoot recommended diet.
Well, I know of a local health food factory right here in the Phoenix area. I can call them up and see if they're willing to do it. They, of course, prefer to sell sexual enhancement medications of different sorts, potions and stuff like that.
How would you know that, Gene?
Well, because the artist who does all the graphic design, it's a friend of mine, and I help him with his computers. That's why.
So you model,
it's not
model
what you think it is.
What an angle. What an angle.
You think?
I couldn't resist.
I know. I knew you were going to stick that in there. And you're going to try to stick it to me, but I will not let you do it.
What's that one there, Gene?
There you go. There you go. But I think part of the issue here is that with all this stuff, you know, we're trying to figure out the culture, the evidence about creatures that it's very difficult to prove. And I'm going to ask that other devil's advocate question. Is there any possibility that after all the research you've done that maybe, you know, it's a great exercise, but we're never going to come to any answers?
Maybe not in my lifetime.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
I disagree. I think of all the paranormal phenomena, we have the best chance of getting a leg up on the reality of this situation, much more so than UFOs or other so-called paranormal phenomena. If this is a real crypto creature lurking about that's not truly paranormal, that is an undiscovered as yet identified species, then I think ultimately we will have evidence. But the fact that we don't gives people like Jack Lipisardis, what's he call himself, Kiwani, he wrote the book The Psychic Sasquatch, and what do you think of the whole New Age kind of bent on this whole thing, that Bigfoot is an evolved being, that it has the ability to shapeshift or go in and out of dimensional doorways? I mean, there are quite a number of cases where Bigfoot tracks seemingly start out of nowhere and then go for a while and then disappear out into thin air. I mean, how do we as field investigators, how are we able to explain that or reconcile what appears to be very, compelling visual evidence staring at us on the ground?
I mean, I'll tell you what, this is the question that we'll have to hold the answer for. We're talking to Eric Altman, Dave Dragason with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99, and every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, Bill, pick up line 3. It's Brian.
Hey, Brian, what's up?
Brian here.
Thanks. Hey, Bill, I just received my shipment of the Safety Net, our full-year emergency food system. I can't tell you how great it feels to personally not have to worry anymore, especially with the growing threats to our everyday food supply.
Brian, not only are you getting 4,320 nutritionally dense, delicious food servings, but the individual serving price is just $1.43 per meal. It's truly great tasting food at amazing prices.
The variety is also a huge bonus, Bill. It's like having access to a full menu of impressive food.
Well, it really is a safety net for those worried about the coming food shortages and how their families can prepare.
It's great knowing I'm covered for the future, but I gotta go, Bill, and get all this food unloaded.
With scorching heat devastating U.S. cropland, there's never been a better time to visit SafetyNetSavings.com. That's SafetyNetSavings.com. Visit SafetyNetSavings.com today.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As is his wont, because he wants to do it, Chris asked a long question, a very complicated question, but a very important question, of our guests, Dave Dragason and Eric Altman, about Bigfoot and gathering evidence. Gentlemen, you want to have an answer?
Go ahead, Eric, you start.
Well, we don't have an answer. That's the problem. We don't know why there are cases of these tracks that just end in the middle of a field. We don't know why some of these creatures are thought to disappear into thin air. We really don't know why we're not able to get a body or get a specimen or get solid concrete evidence. There's a lot of answers we don't have yet and we're still looking into. Thus, the reason why some of these researchers reach out to that other possibility of them being from another dimension or coming from an alien spacecraft or being a spiritual being like the Native Americans told about in their legends and lore. Unfortunately, this mystery is just that. It's a big mystery, and there's a lot of puzzle pieces missing, and it gets stranger and stranger the longer I do this. Dave can attest to that. We've run into things out there in the woods that we just scratch our heads at, and you can't really answer why we can't collect evidence, why these evidence is, the footprints in the field, why they disappear. I honestly don't know. I've been so dumbfounded in cases like that, and just I don't know. But I don't go reaching out saying they're mystical creatures and they have that ability. I just try to solve the answer for that particular riddle.
Also, why is it that it seems that there are maybe some people who are more attuned to see them on a repeated basis than others? Are they closer to nature? Are they closer to the metaphysical forces that be, that are above us, than the bulk of our researchers are concerned? I've never seen one, and I can just attest the fact that I've interviewed people for my forensic sketches. I can tell you what I see in their eyes and what develops in their voices as they begin to reiterate and tell me about their experiences. You sometimes got to say, I'm glad I didn't get what I prayed for, because I've known people who have kept their stories to themselves for up to 10 years before they've divulged information, and there are probably still people that stay in the closet because they do not want to be ridiculed. They don't want to be subject to any kind of a smear campaign. They don't want to be called nuts. I feel sorry for them, especially if they have a story to tell that they're worried about it falling on a deaf ear or possibly a person who's going to make fun of them. The metaphysical world is a strange one, which I know very little about as far as my investigations are concerned, but I respect it. I'm in a kind of agreement with Chris. I think we're closer than ever before as far as possibly one of these creatures goofing up and slipping. I really feel that either by accident or by curiosity is going to be the two keys by which we're going to be able to get some hard evidence on these guys.
Absolutely agree.
I'm still on the fence on that because I really think that, and I've been doing this a long, long time, and it seems like we take one step up and two steps back when it comes to these creatures. They're always finding a way to outsmart us. They're always finding a way not to leave evidence. That we might get lucky. Dave's right. We might get lucky and they goof up or they slip up and we happen to be at the right place at the right time. But my feeling on it, as long as I've done this, is I don't think we're any closer today than we were 50 years ago.
If there is one Bigfoot sighting, Sasquatch sighting, Yeti sighting, whatever you want to call them, whatever part of the world, one case that you cite to somebody saying, this is an example of something that we can't figure out, we have no idea what it is, it's too compelling.
I can honestly tell you, in the years that I've been involved directly with one-on-one with people, I find that it's very interesting that there's always a nuance to a truthful person who's had an experience.
Well, can you give us a single case, a singular case? Say, okay, here's the case that's going to make you look and say, gosh, I don't know what this could be.
Well, I'm
the March 19. Eric, how about the, or Dave, how about the March 12th, 1997 Derry Township case with the scratches on the guy's Chevy? On I think the trunk, or if I remember correctly, there was these long scratches that were analyzed. Would you consider that one of the more compelling cases? And that's right in your guys' backyard there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Stan Gordon got that report back in 97. I think it was 94, if I'm not mistaken. It was one of those years. But he got the report, and it came from a bunch of young men, who were out driving around the back roads of Derry Township and had several encounters with this white creature. And apparently it chased them down the road on their last encounter with it and did leave large scratches in the trunk. Pictures were taken. I've never heard of any analyzation done on it or the results of it. It's a very compelling case, but another case where you just don't know. I mean, it could have the kids done it? very possible because they never met with Stan, never took him to the location. According to Stan, they were told to shut up by phone calls that were made to them, threatening phone calls just after their encounter. They were told, don't talk about it, so they didn't.
Okay, who told them that? Just the men in black or something?
Well, according to these young guys, they said they got phone calls that night after their experience telling them don't talk to Stan Gordon. They never elaborated on who told them not to talk to Stan, but that's what they were told, and they didn't talk to Stan.
Whoa. Of course, Stan has been a guest several times in the PowerCast. He's a very well-known UFO researcher from your part of the country and certainly involved in the Kecksburg UFO incident. Lay another Bigfoot case on us. Really compelling, frightening, obviously compelling in its dimension.
What was his name? Albert Osman, the one that was kidnapped back in the 30s, I think, or
1924.
What was that case? In BC, where he got kidnapped in a sleeping bag and was held hostage for a couple, 3 days, if I remember correctly, and escaped by blowing his snuff into the face of the Bigfoot. Come on, you guys, you got to have a top 10 list, right?
Well, I have a case that occurred, and it's a very compelling case. And actually, we have a couple that we can talk about. This one occurred back in, I want to say, 2004 in South Greensburg, a very populated city here in southwestern Pennsylvania. It's a suburb of Pittsburgh, actually. And the case involved this creature coming around this family's home almost on a nightly basis for at least 2 weeks. They found large footprints. They had something huge walk through their garden and left a huge wake. They took pictures of it. You could see where the foliage and the plants and everything were just crumpled down as some big animal walked through it. But the most compelling part about that case was they had a golden retriever that they left out in the yard, and it had a dog box. This thing was so frightened by this creature coming around, it literally dug its way under the dog box and stayed under there for days. It wouldn't come out. Now, Stan's a mentor of mine. You mentioned Stan. And Stan always brings up a good point. You know, people may lie. Our eyes may deceive us, but animals don't lie. When something happens to an animal, it really affects them, and they show that behavior. This dog under the doghouse would refuse to come out. We even put treats out for it. We tried to drag it by its chain. It just wouldn't come out. It was so terrified of something being around there. And we found trace evidence. We found footprints up on the hill behind the house. We found a huge 30-foot area of matted grass that looked like some kind of big animal rolled around in it. Unfortunately, we didn't find any hair samples there. We found the garden. They took pictures of it. They showed us the garden where some kind of big animal looked like it just paced back and forth through and just trampled all the vegetables and the foliage in that garden. It was a very remarkable case.
We're going to be trampled on if we don't tell our listeners. We have Dave Dragason, Eric Altman with Gene and Chris. You're in Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in a grand science fiction tradition.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste. gut, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
Chris said as the episode progressed, his voice would get deeper and deeper. He would sound more and more like a Bigfoot. We're talking to Dave Dragerson and Eric Altman, and exploring some compelling, some frightening cases about strange creatures. Now, when we're looking at the different origins here, we look at a missing link, some kind of creature that has existed here, and we just haven't been able to find them because they're too darn smart. But what about the paranormal aspects of it? Because some people talk about other dimensions, maybe connected with UFO cases. So where do you folks stand on that? Either one of you.
Wow, that's a whole plateful there. I'll be honest with you, I've not experienced any of my witnesses on a one-to-one basis tell me anything with regard to leaning in the paranormal or slash UFO categories, with the exception of one, and that is the classic case that Stan Gordon has epitomized back in the late 70s in Fayette County, just north of Uniontown, in an area called West Lyson Ring, and the Kutcher Baltic story, where you had not only people who owned a farm and experienced a glowing light in the middle of the field that the cows would not go into to graze. This happened in the evening, and you're talking state trooper coming up and firing tracer bullets at two large creatures, one large, one small. I should say not two large creatures, but a large creature and an adolescent walking near the fence line with a state policeman. And my friend Pooch Kowalczyk and his family stood by and watched, and the bullets just went right through. That's about the only case I know of which has gained some great attention over the years. You want to expound on that, Eric? I think you know a little bit about it, too.
Yeah, that was a case that involved Greensburg State or Uniontown State Police, excuse me. And Stan Gordon was involved in it. There were other investigators involved in it. They had even had a well-known psychiatrist, Bernhard Schwartz, I believe his name was. It's a very well-known case in Pennsylvania in the historical archives of sightings. And it's for some reason back in that time, the early 1970s, 73 and 74, there were a lot more of these cases. A lot more involving strange lights in the sky, not so much as they are today. I mean, there's no reports we get today of Bigfoot being seen around a strange light in the sky or strange paranormal phenomenon. It just seemed that 73-74 flap that took place here in southwestern Pennsylvania had a lot more cases associated with it.
Of course, there's always that the Clearview case that occurred just outside of the U.S. Air Force Academy near Colorado Springs, where a rancher was targeted by cattle mutilators. He would see these strange blinking boxes up in trees that would be there 1 minute, and he'd come back and they'd be gone. And then the climax of the case, which occurred over a period of a couple of months, if memory serves me correct, is some sort of saucer-type craft landing, and what appeared to be human, uniform-clad military personnel coming out and talking with the rancher and saying, oh, by the way, the blinking boxes you've seen and the Bigfoot that you saw that jumped over the fence and twanged it, they could hear the barbed wire, the top rung of the barbed wire going when they saw this creature sometime before this. But he said, look over there. And they looked over, and underneath the tree was a Bigfoot standing there with one of these blinking boxes it was holding. And the guy reached down on his belt and said something to the effect of, well, we have control over them. You don't have to worry about them. And he hit a button, and the Bigfoot, fell down on the ground and kind of twitched and lay there. And then he hit the button again. The Bigfoot stood back up. Are you familiar with that particular case? It's called the Clearview case. Timothy Good mentioned it in his book, I think, Above Top Secret, or one of his earlier books. Does that ring a bell to you guys? Leo Sprinkle investigated it, Tom Adams, David Perkins. There are a number of Colorado and Texas investigators were involved, and, of course, Leo was up in Wyoming. But does that case ring a bell?
I haven't heard it before.
Likewise, which doesn't mean much as far as I'm sure it exists and it happened, but boy, that's extremely intriguing.
I think this was 78-79, I believe, was the time frame for this one. So a little later than the wave that you guys were referring to some years before.
Now, that's an interesting point of view here about waves. Do we see waves of Bigfoot sightings as we see waves of UFO cases, UFO flaps, that sort of thing?
Very possible. We've had a banner year in 2009 into 2010 here. Right along Chestnut Ridge from the borders of Pennsylvania and West Virginia on up into the Confluence area where we've had well over 20 sightings. Correct, Eric?
Yeah, 2009, in the summer of 2009, it began and it carried over into 2010, and we're still getting residual reports to this day of sightings occurring in that area. So you do see flaps happen. When and where they're going to happen, we don't know. We have no idea. It just starts to happen. And then you have dry spells. It's quiet for a year or two. You don't get anything. You don't hear anything. And then all of a sudden the activity picks up again.
And then we get to the other possibility here, that of so-called window areas of paranormal events. So do you see any synchronicity at all between Bigfoot sightings, UFO sightings, etc.?
Personally, I haven't. However, in 2007 and 8, and even into 2009, my good friend Stan Gordon and John Ventry reported over 300 cases, and most of those cases were reported to the Pennsylvania MUFON chapter. So there was a huge wave of sightings, and it still goes on today with the UFO sightings here in Pennsylvania. But I don't know if there's a correlation between the two. As far as one happens and then the other one happens, I really couldn't tell you. But we've seen huge flaps of UFOs. We've seen huge flaps of Bigfoot sightings. And paranormal activity is always going on somewhere.
As far as both of those occurrences happening, UFOs with Bigfoot, I can't attest to it as far as windows are concerned, not since the middle to late 70s as it once was. Lately, maybe UFOs and then Bigfoot separate, but not together.
So does that imply that maybe there is no connection?
I think that really is left up to maybe the book still being written on that in many cases.
Yeah, we have nothing to back that up or prove it.
Exactly.
So I'm going to ask you this the same question, Chris. In your explorations of the Mysterious Valley, all these years you spent, have you seen correlations in terms of outbreaks of paranormal events?
Well, only that flap of sightings that I investigated the last half of the last week of December, 94, into the first half of the first week of January, 95, I received, coincidentally, 7 reports, 3 of which were from that week period, and then the other 4 were from that fall, sort of mid to late fall period. So we did have, you know, an amazing flurry, actually, of Bigfoot sightings. And then 2 weeks later, we had one of the, I think, the dark horse UFO event in the entire country when NORAD called the Rio Grande County Sheriff, which, again, Rio Grande County would be the next county north from where these Bigfoot sightings were. And NORAD called and reported what later turned out witnesses observed UFOs flying down into a mountain and possibly crashing. And we had a whole bunch of UFO sightings that surrounded that particular event. There was about a week lag between the Bigfoot sightings and then the tremendous upsurge of UFO activity. But it was very difficult for me, in my mind, not to somehow think that there was some sort of connection on some level between these two, what appeared to be, you know, separate waves of events, but very, very close in time proximity.
Mm. We're looking at the strange cases of Bigfoot, other paranormal events, and I'm going to start asking in the next segment about how you mount an investigation. If you're somebody who has the guts to do it, how would you investigate, or how should you investigate Bigfoot? If you have a comment or a question, please write us, news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. We have Dave Dragason, Eric Altman with Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hvextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hvextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget,
crossbreedholsters.com.
Question: when the next disaster strikes, will you be ready? Answer: yes. If you have top quality survival gear from the survivalzone.com, these days it's wise to keep a survival kit in your vehicle, home, and office. The survivalzone.com specializes in ready-to-go wilderness, 72-hour, and compact survival kits, plus freeze-dried and dehydrated food, MREs, stun guns, non-hybrid seeds, and much more. Call 603-838-5933 to be prepared with the survivalzone.com.
This is a special alert from eFoods Direct. Silver just dumped to a two-year low, and right now the stock market crashes and recrashes daily. What does that mean to you? When stocks crash, companies fail, jobs are lost, and you can't buy the already too expensive food. eFoods just got notice that wholesale costs on pasta, rice, and beans will immediately jump 20%. The all-time high cost of sugar is tripling. Those who tried to buy silver for security just lost a big piece of the food their silver might have bought before it crashed. So what are you going to do? Get as much food as you can. With these problems you're facing, eFoods Direct has no choice but to extend the free shipping another week to October 9th. Free shipping to October 9th buys more food with shipping dollars. Call 800-409-5633, 24 hours. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Remember, you can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We have our own favorite Bigfoot himself, number one favorite Chris O'Brien with Gene, our guest this week. Dave Dragason and Eric Altman, they're associated with an organization called the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society at pabigfootsociety.com. They'll tell us more about later how you can learn more, but when you check the listing on our site, we have a link there on theparacast.com so you can find it. So, gentlemen, perhaps either of you can define this. I want to mount an investigation into Bigfoot somewhere. Maybe I've heard of cases in a particular area, particular region. Now I want to mount an investigation. Other than saying, I'm crazy doing it, how would I do it?
Well, it does take some common sense. That's the first thing I would suggest.
Which means give it up right now and just walk away.
I've been telling people that for years.
Yeah, really. Yeah, just slowly back away.
Exactly. What we do in our investigations, and everybody's different. Everybody has their own methods, their procedures, the way they investigate. I don't think there is a right way or a wrong way. People have different ways they go about it. But in our case, if we get a report submitted to the website, it usually comes to my email, and then I send it off to the closest investigator to that location so they can get right on it and they can get right to the area as quickly as possible. That investigator will then contact that witness either by phone, by email, make some type of communication attempt to reach that witness. And if they're able to, we want to get as much information as we can on the phone, but we also want to try to meet that witness in person because, as Dave talked a little bit about earlier, you can learn a great deal from people's emotions, body responses, body language. And I prefer, and I know Dave will probably agree with me, I prefer meeting a witness in person. If we're able to do that and establish that relationship and we can, in our conversation with them, learn a lot more about what they experienced, plus reassure them and get them comfortable enough to take us to that area, that's our main goal, is to go to that area where they have the sighting so we can then begin to look for physical evidence. If that investigator finds physical evidence at that location or comes back to the group and says, hey, we've got something really going on here. The witness is credible. This is a hot spot. We've had history here. We possibly have some evidence there. Then we bring in other researchers to assist. And Dave, you want to take it from there?
The answer to the question, I think, is also going to rely on how much of an outdoorsman you may be and would know what to normally bring with you as far as being outfitted to the weather and the topography of your particular home, your location, or where you plan to investigate, along with any of the other neat little toys that you would like to decide to bring with you, including
tail cams.
Latex, you know, latex gloves and samples of, I should say, gathering tools in order to bring with you samples that you may find, or maybe some soft evidence, along with plaster Paris depressions, if you happen to find a print. So they vary quite a bit. It could get very extensive as far as, like, what my pack is involved with. I'm looking at one right now in my Sunforge room. I brought it out of the car recently. I've got a Coleman lantern. I've got a pair of boots. I've got a couple of parabolic microphones. I've got, a couple of sticks for tree knocking, to make some tree knock sounds, which is a very common sound that primates make. We think we've had some answers to it in response. I've got a walking stick. I've got a flashlight. And this is extensive. I even bring lures with me. I've even gone as far as putting out peanut butter sardines and anise oil. I'll do anything. I will do anything. And we've also included mother's breast milk, believe it or not, in a plastic bag. As crazy as that sounds, about 6 years ago in the middle of Pennsylvania. And it was taken. We don't know what took it, but it was gone the next day. We hung it high above ground in a swampy area, and it was gone. There were some impressions in the soil. But to make a long story short, what we bring with us will vary, and I think over time, once you become more attuned to what you think you could expect, or maybe expect the unexpected and be ready for it, you become acclimated on what your pack should be, what you should bring with you in the woods, what you leave with you in the car, et cetera, et cetera.
What about sound recording equipment? What about cameras?
Yep.
Any particular types that are useful, or just what you get on your iPhone for the camera?
That can vary, too. I mean, we've got some real aficionados in various Bigfoot circles around us. Eric just acquired a FLIR camera. You can take it from here, Eric, and let them know about what some of the gear that you've acquired.
Yeah, I've got some pretty good audio recording equipment. I use what's called a Zoom Q3. It's a video and audio recorder with a condenser mic built into it. It's handheld, portable, digital recorder. It works very well and captures sound very well. Other people use the H2s. We also use, as Dave mentioned, we have a thermal FLIR camera that we take with us to detect body heat and heat signatures. We use night vision. We use trail cameras. We've tried a variety of different trail cameras, from infrared to 35-millimeter trail cameras. As Dave mentioned, he uses parabolic mics. Our group has several parabolic mics that we use. So it's all in what you can afford, and it's all in what your preference is. If you want to carry a large pack on your back to take all that equipment in the woods with you, by all means do so. Me personally, I used to haul all this stuff around, and it just got to be the point where it was monotonous and I wasn't catching any evidence using this stuff. So I carry very little when I go out now. 35-millimeter camera or a digital camera, high-def camera, and my digital recorder. That's about all I take. And a tape measure. That's about all I take.
Okay, what about weapons here? Obviously, they appear to be dangerous. Should we have any weapons with which to defend ourselves?
If you don't mind, Eric, let me walk into this. I feel that the bulk of America has become Disneyfied. And I say that in the sense that every critter out there is our friend, isn't it? No, it's dead wrong. And I would have to say, protect yourself from the environmental scares that are real. I'm talking black bear, grizzly. I'm talking cougar. I'm talking feral hogs. I'm talking any type of predator that could possibly infringe upon you and your family's safety while you're out investigating. Protect yourself, whether that means just pepper spray, or whether you feel safe with, like, for instance, a very popular gun nowadays is the Judge, which can be used either as a 410 shotgun shell or a 45 slug, and that's to protect against snakes or predators. That will vary, Gene, as far as how you feel safe in the woods. I'll be honest with you, there have been a few nights where I've been out, and I'm glad I'm carrying, simply because I don't know what has been prancing around in the dark around me. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to use a weapon, but it does mean that I feel protected with pepper spray, and I feel a little bit more secure with items as such. I'm not talking, you know, heavy ballistics here. I'm just talking some protective means, moderately speaking.
Well, that's the other question, too, here. I think if somebody was going to get
You're not going to bring a .22 out with you and expect to stop a rampaging Bigfoot.
Well, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't take anything unless I had training to use it, you know, because I'd end up shooting somebody I know.
Of course.
So this is not something we're not recommending, folks, here, that you bring a deadly weapon with you, because if you don't know what you're doing, you can cause all sorts of havoc. You might be going into areas where it's not allowed. You know, you might hurt the people that you hope to protect. And there's another question I'm going to ask about that, which is it possible to try to capture one of these things, get the ironclad evidence? So, guys, let me ask you a quick question here before we go on. How can a person learn more about the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society?
Well, we have several ways of folks finding information about us or contacting us, and one of them being our website, which is pabigfootsociety.com, or if you go to Google or Yahoo, just type in Pennsylvania Bigfoot or Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, our website comes up. And we're also on Facebook as well. If you type in Facebook in the search engine, type Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, you'll find us there as well. Lots of information, photos, especially on our Facebook page. I keep that one more updated than our website.
Is this a membership organization like a MUFON where you join, pay $10 a year or something, and you get your membership card? How's it work?
It is a membership organization, but it's by invitation only. We don't just take anybody that's interested in joining. We have public expeditions yearly, actually biannual, and we invite the public to come join us. So we get to know them. They get to know us. If we feel they're a good fit and would make a good member, then we send out the invitation to that person. And likewise, they can make that determination if we're a good fit for them and they can join us. So we don't have an open membership where anybody can join. We have a private invitation-only membership. And as of the last 3 years, no, we have not collected dues.
Okay, so basically as it is, most of what we learn about your organization is available online. Tell our listeners what the address again is.
It's pabigfootsociety.com.
We have Eric Altman, Dave Dragason with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.